The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Off-season podcasts start right now. Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Today on this Monday, where coaches are getting fired left and right. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit subscribe and like. If you're listening, please leave us a nice review. Wow, what a finish to the season. That was incredible. Imagine being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan last night. Oh, heart-pounding, heart-stopping stuff, Dave Richard. Good way to finish the 2021 season.
I mean, we all love the drama. So just the drama of it all and the excitement of it all, I think it came to play. And when they hit overtime, when that game went overtime, I was thinking to myself, that's it. Steelers are out. They're just going to, you know, these two teams aren't going to mess around at this point. But one team messed around a little bit more than the other.
And Jamie, I thought it was, you know, it was poetically sad that the Chargers' Achilles heel all year is their run defense. All they had to do was stop Josh Jacobs a couple times at the end. They let him get too close, and they are out. And I think a lot of AFC teams probably breathing a sigh of relief. I don't know. You tell me, but I feel like the fan bases at least would rather see the Steelers and the Raiders in there than the Chargers.
The fan bases of the rest of the teams in the AFC? Yes, yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, last thing you want to do is see Justin Herbert. Clearly, he's so talented and unfortunately handcuffed by his coach and some of the stupid moves that his coach makes. The Steelers can easily, should be the easiest opponent in the AFC. You know, wouldn't be surprising just given some of the pieces that they have. You know, Mike Tomlin's clearly a great coach. They have the defensive player of the year. So TJ Watt can wreck a game by himself, and who knows what Roethlisberger has left, if anything, to maybe, you know, pull one more, magical run. But, the interesting thing about this for the Chiefs is that, are they healthy? You know, if Kelce Hill and their running backs are banged up, it could be a little bit closer game than people think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely didn't want to see the Chargers. So what's your read? All right, here's my basic read on the playoffs. AFC snooze fest. NFC, anything could happen. NFC 10 times more interesting than the AFC.
You think the AFC is a snooze fest? Why? You think it's going to be Chiefs-Bills?
I think round one, at least, feels like a snooze fest to me.
Oh, round one, yes. Round one is probably all the favorites win, yes.
I mean, I am interested to see Bill Belichick locking up with the Bills for a third time.
They can't play on the road.
Yeah, they're not that good. Yeah, kudos to them. Had a great season. I think they overachieved, but the Bills are so much better, right? I think, anyway.
Yes, Bills are better. I mean, the Bills haven't played well, though.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots gave them a game. Came down to the end.
Especially if the weather's bad. We've already seen that.
Could see it again. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, I have really no interest in Bengals. I'm going to watch every second, but Bengals Raiders, yeah, whatever. Bengals Raiders. We just saw Steelers Chiefs. You're right about the injuries that can make, but snooze. But I don't know. I mean, is there one game in the NFC where you feel very confident in picking a winner of the game?
Eagles, no, Bucks. I mean, the Bucks are so beat up right now. Obviously Brady, they're 7-1 at home this year. So the Eagles, the one thing that you worry about for the Eagles is that the strength of their team is the strength of the Bucks defense when they're right. You know, so they're running offense versus the Bucks rush defense. You know, how much will they have success in that regard? I think Jalen Hurts is going to have to make some plays, and that could, you know, maybe sway things for the Eagles. But obviously Tampa's so beat up. The Cowboys 49ers is going to be a great game. I mean, those two teams right now is in Dallas. That's the best game on the slate. But Rams Cardinals, they're both playing so bad at this point. It's just a matter of like, who's going to play worse. I mean, I don't trust the Cardinals right now. I think the Rams win that one easy.
I do too, actually. I agree. I think the Cardinals have no mojo right now.
Unless JJ Watt comes back, you know, maybe that does something for their defense. But I mean, just right now, like, that was an embarrassing loss yesterday.
It was terrible. Do you think that they dial it back? Do you think they go conservative and just try and, you know, make hope that the Cardinals make too many mistakes?
I mean, I would have thought that yesterday too. You know, they're up 17-0 over the 49ers.
Yeah. Then they started making mistakes of their own. It was almost like they were too conservative on offense.
Yeah.
Who, the Rams?
Yeah.
Well, the 49ers run defense is no joke. The Cardinals is not nearly as good. One of these two teams met recently, Monday night, December 13th, and the Rams won 30-23, and DeAndre Hopkins was playing in that game. AJ Green had 102 yards. Yeah, so, all right, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to the playoffs getting started. This is a fantasy football podcast, though. We have 3 episodes this week, and later the week we'll kind of break down the games a little bit, give you some DFS advice, those types of things. We'll give you winners and losers from Week 18. Look, Week 18 had a lot of great fantasy storylines. I really want to talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown and Rashad Penny and see how you guys feel about them going in. I want to know if you have Deebo Samuel as a top 10 or a top 12 PPR wide receiver. It's kind of a silly question to ask considering he's number 3 in PPR this year, but in such a crazy, I won't even call it unsustainable with him, but such a crazy, unusual way in which he went about getting his fantasy points. Amazing season for Deebo. Threw a touchdown in week 18. Also, we'll talk about the coaches who got fired a little bit. I might save that for tomorrow. And today is an award show. It's the nomination process. Here are the awards we're going to be, you know, figuring out our nominees, and you, the listeners, the viewers, are going to be able to vote on it. I'll tell you more about that later. But fantasy MVP, fantasy's biggest bust, rookie of the year, best waiver wire pickup, worst waiver wire pickup. Those are really fun. And the one game wonder of the season. Is it Mike White, perhaps? So there are going to be some, oh yeah, I forgot about that moments today. Dave, why don't you give me the biggest Week 18 winner from a fantasy standpoint? No?
I'm not sure if I can pick one from a fantasy standpoint. I wonder if we maybe need to give a little bit more love to Josh Jacobs. I know that the Raiders won, and I know it was a, you know, crazy game that went in overtime and all that, but I know that he did not make my initial, I don't think he made my initial top 24 overall. For 2022.
I don't know. You changed it a few times.
I've changed it. Well, the first time I did it, I threw it together. It was really a poor effort on my part. And then the second time I did it, I think I did a better job with it. But I don't have it in front of me right now. I don't remember. And I'm tired. So I don't know exactly where it is. I'm going to open up the document and I'll tell you. But I think that Jacobs is someone that maybe shouldn't be forgotten about and could end up being a decent value if he continues over.
Are we having some connection issues, Jamie?
Yeah.
With Dave?
Yeah, you hear me?
A little bit, kind of cutting in and out. Yeah. All right, Jacobs. So, yeah, he finishes strong and 26 carries, 132 yards and a touchdown. And 2 weeks ago against the Broncos, I guess 3 games ago, 27 carries for 129 yards. So it's 129 yards or a touchdown in 3 straight games. Jamie, did he crack your top 24?
No, but he'll be right near it. And some of it, you know, depends. Like, I have Javonte Williams in the top 24. We'll see what happens there with, you know, quarterback and additional runner added potentially. But I mean, that round 3, round 4 range is going to be pretty nice, you know, depending on how things shake out with guys like Deebo Samuel and Josh Jacobs and whatnot.
All right, Jamie, how about a big loser from week 18?
I was going to give you another winner just quickly when Dave froze. So Mike Evans, you know, this could be the type of performance we're looking at from him. Maybe not 2 touchdowns, but 689 and 1. If they don't bring back Godwin or Godwin's not ready to go, and this is, you know, a Gronk, Evans, and then just a bunch of guys offense next year. So, you know, it was encouraging, I think, for, you know, for Mike Evans to have, you know, this type of performance without the additional guys around him. A week 18 loser.
Can I give one and you can react here?
Yeah, I was just trying to think of like who struggled that mattered.
CeeDee Lamb. I want to make sure we talk about him.
He really went to the finish, didn't he?
Sure did. His last 6 games and all since returning from an injury, haven't read anything, haven't seen any that uses an excuse. Maybe it's coincidence. Last 6 games, 29 catches, 362 yards, no touchdowns on 43 targets. So if per 16 games, that would be 77 catches for 965 yards on 115 targets. But the first game of that stretch was good against New Orleans, and the last five, it's been 65 or fewer yards and no touchdowns, Jamie. So I'll just go ahead and nominate Lamb as the loser here. And you know, I think we all want to be excited about him going forward. Has he done enough to warrant a top 12 selection as a wide receiver?
No, probably not. You know, and I think, you know, you brought this up. I was thinking the same thing, that with Gallup out, does he play more outside and does that help him? And it seemed as if they didn't necessarily, you know, move him very much with Cedric Wilson. So,
well, he was outside almost the entire game and it didn't help.
I'm sorry. It didn't help him with Gallup not there. You're right. Wilson played more inside. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. You know, I want to see what happens this offseason, what they do to add to their receiving core. I think he'll actually end up probably being a good buy now because he'll probably fall a little bit based on where the expectations were. But, I mean, you know, kudos to Dak. You know, he's used guys. You know, he's made Schultz a thing. He's made, you know, he's made use of Cooper. He's made use of Wilson. He's made use of Gallup. He's made use of Lamb. He's made use of his running backs. You know, he's really diversified his offense. So
I want to see what Lamb does in the playoffs. If he limps to the end in the playoffs too, then I've got some concern. But this is where Dak might go right back to leaning on him as a playmaker. He might do it with Cooper. I think we'll get an idea of how Dak feels about these receivers in the playoffs.
Yeah, the splits with or without Michael Gallup in terms of yards per target, I don't remember where I mentioned this, but it was on one of the shows. It was like 2.5 more yards per target for Lamb, with and without Gallup, which is probably just playing inside versus playing outside. We'd have to get those splits, which we can do. And his yards per target were really good. He had like 40 yards or 43 yards, something on two targets. But, you know, that's not going to really make much of an impact in fantasy. Okay. How about this, Deebo Samuel or CeeDee Lamb next season, PPR?
Deebo.
I think it's Deebo.
Okay. More on him in a moment. You can vote on the award winners in our Facebook group, on Twitter, and in our YouTube community lab. So we're gonna give you these six, I think, categories. We're going to come up with a list of four nominees. We're going to talk it out. And then you can vote. And we're going to announce the winners that you vote on next week. But it's always a lot of fun and inspires great debate, especially in our Facebook group. So you can do this on our Facebook group, which is just Fantasy Football Today. Search for it on Facebook or click the link in the episode description, on Twitter, and in the YouTube community lab or community tab. I read that wrong. Sorry. Community tab. I don't know much about YouTube.
Cooler.
Yeah, right. It did.
Cool lab that you guys can go into and mess with stats and talk with each other and create your own emoji.
Yeah. There are beakers and graduated cylinders. Isn't that a thing?
Goggles.
And if you're listening on Spotify, you can also leave us a nice 5-star review, which would be great. Please do that on Spotify. I'm going to save the coach talk for tomorrow, but Denver fired Vic Fangio, Mike Zimmer out, Matt Nagy out, Brian Flores out. Will Joe Judge be fired by the end of this episode, guys? Another 30 or 40 minutes.
I would hope so, for your sake, your sanity.
Yeah, Jamie, your guess was what?
I mean, he should be.
You know, I think teams should QB sneak at their own 5-yard line on third down more often. I think we need.
I still don't understand why you're hoping he stays.
I don't care anymore. Because we liked him at the end of last year and we hate him now. He's the same coach. The team sucks. Nobody can win with Jake Fromm or Mike Glennon. I don't care. It stops cycling through coaches. Vic Fangio should not have been fired, in my opinion. You know, can you guarantee me that the Vikings are going to replace Zimmer with somebody better? Zimmer had a pretty good run there. Flores.
I mean, at some point, if it's not working, how long do you continue to run with it?
I guess I could, you know, you could say it just, you know, ran its course.
The Fangio thing is valid, but I think, you know, part of it also is, you know, the mindset of what the front office wants, you know. So seeing your coach kick when you have a chance, you know, when you need to score a touchdown and those type of decisions, you know, I think that matters.
That can't be fixed.
There's also some thought that the GM has a relationship with Dan Quinn. So he wants Dan Quinn. There's also the thought of, if you get Nathaniel Hackett, you get Aaron Rodgers.
Dan Quinn is exactly why I don't think that you should just necessarily fire Joe Judge or any coach. You know, what makes a coach good?
That's not necessarily about who those guys are as coaches. It's about the relationship those guys have as friends.
I understand, but it, you know, who's a good coach? A lot of times it's a guy with a good roster. You know, so with Dan Quinn, he was a bad coach a year ago. Now he's a great defensive coordinator again, so he's going to be a good coach the next time around. It's just a silly process, and it leads to a lot of repeated failure. And so I don't know that's my whole thing. It's just, it's not necessarily the coach's fault. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not there. I'm not in the locker room. But firing the coach is not always the solution. I'm very surprised about the Dolphins. Maybe there's something there. Maybe they want to go after.
Well, that's what you're hearing, is that there was a power struggle.
Yeah. Well, all right. Everybody wants power.
There's also the Michigan tie between Stephen Ross and Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. John.
Jim.
Jim. Jim. Jim. Belushi.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry. News and notes. Hey, who's going to win tonight, by the way?
Us.
Who's us?
Us. We're going to get treated to a hell of a game.
Oh, I hope you're right. That didn't happen in the SEC championship game.
No, I think Alabama pulls it out, but I think Georgia gives them a tough time.
All right, news and notes. Taysom Hill left with a foot injury. Najee Harris played through an injury. Cyril Grayson left with a hamstring injury. They're quite depleted there. Jalen Waddle set the rookie record for receptions. CJ Uzama left with a hip injury. New England left tackle Isaiah Wynn left with an injury. And those are all of the news and notes I have. Jamie mentioned Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce got a little dinged up.
And Darrell Williams.
And Darrell Williams, yeah. Darrell Williams as well. Chiefs are beat up right now. All right, more Week 18 winners. So can we talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown and Rashad Penny and their finishes? St. Brown, in his last six games, he is the number three wide receiver in non-PPR, number two in PPR. He's top five per game in both formats. He's third in PPR per game. And who's buying in? Who's buying in as a, you know, I'm gonna top 24. I'll just bring this up again. I know we did it, I think, last week. But top 24 in your rankings, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
He's going to be very close. I mean, you know, I liked him following the draft process. I liked him for a long time. I want to see what they do. If Jared Goff is back, I want to see what they do in terms of adding to this receiving core. They need to have somebody else there. It just can't be what they currently have. And clearly a lot of this came with TJ Hawkinson sideline. So, you know, that should factor into this also. But he's got the potential to be good. You know, I mean, you see what he does, you know, as a playmaker for this team. You see what he does in terms of when he's getting featured, which has been the case. So there's a lot to like. You know, it's just a matter of, and I think this is a dilemma a lot of people are going to fall into. The retread guys that, you know, you're still hoping for, you know, quality production. The name that comes to mind for me is a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. Because obviously Hopkins, when he's right, is a much better player, at least should be. But is he still that type of guy? And so, you know, the offseason is going to determine, I think, a lot of these questions. But I think for right now, yes, I would buy into him as a low-end number two receiver.
I think I would too. You think about the target volume that he had to end the year, and it seems unsustainable. I don't think he can get double-digit targets every game next year. But what if he catches six or seven balls each week and he averages around 10, 12 yards per catch, scores.
I mean, he's a top 15 receiver in that regard.
What's that?
He's a top 15 receiver in that regard if he's catching six or seven passes a week.
Right. If he is a consistent PPR receiver of getting you between 12 and 18 a week, I mean, I'm putting him ahead of DeAndre Hopkins immediately. Hopkins wasn't getting that type of target volume this year, and he was a touchdown-dependent type of a guy. And I've got Hopkins right now in my top 20. So I think that it's easy to put St. Brown for now in top 20. And I don't see the Lions making a huge splash at wide receiver. This is a team that's still going to lean on that identity of their strong offensive line. And St. Brown's just a nice, easy target for Jared Goff, assuming Goff is the guy next year.
Yeah, he's probably going to remind a lot of people of Jarvis Landry, who was probably the most underrated on draft day wide receiver in fantasy. Every single year, he exceeded his ADP basically for the, I don't know, maybe the first 5 years of his career. I want to read a couple of quotes about Amon-Ra St. Brown from the Detroit Free Press. I mean, this is probably from a lot of places, but where I read it. This is from Dan Campbell. This kid is, I mean, he's better than gold. When you're the athlete he is, explosive, but then you're tough and you're competitive. It's just the way you're made up, and he's smart. And those guys are hard to find that are all-encompassing like that. So I'm glad we've got him, and he proved again. The consistency is there. That's for dang sure. But then how about this one from Jared Goff, which is,
you know, it's so interesting because it's the fantasy conundrum. Watching him grow into that role was so cool. Sometimes that's how it happens, and it happens later in the season. And if TJ is healthy, and if Cephas is healthy, and if Tyrell is healthy the whole year, he probably doesn't get these opportunities. That's how this league goes, and he got those opportunities and clearly made the most of it. He's a special player, a special dude. Look forward to playing with him for sure. So, yeah, right. I mean, interesting stuff.
I don't think if all those guys come back and get healthy that they limit what they do with St. Brown.
Right.
Just don't say, I think he's earned himself a spot playing a lot of snaps for the Lions next year.
Right. The biggest question, though, is he's not getting 11-plus targets a week with those
exactly. guys. It's going to be like 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Why there'll six, be some weeks where it's 5 or 6.
Why
there'll
is,
be
why is 6 afraid of 7, Dave?
Yeah.
Come on now. All right. How about Rashad Penny? My favorite stat on Rashad Penny. He had 119 carries. One out of 10, I guess, really. Like one out of 10 or 11 went for more than 20 yards. That is insane. He had 11 yeah. carries of 20 plus yards. That is the third most in the NFL behind Jonathan Taylor and Nick Chubb on 119 carries. If you look at the running backs who had 120 or fewer carries, Rashad Penny had 11 big plays, 11 carries of 20 or more yards. The next best was 4 by any running back with 120 or fewer carries. That was Rashad Penny and Khalil. Oh, that was a Khalil Herbert and D'Ernest Johnson. So I don't get it, man. Like, he doesn't look like he'd be this explosive running back, but he's doing it every single week. He just had a 62-yard touchdown run in week 18, a 47-yard touchdown run in week 14. He's a free agent, but a total...
That's the biggest thing.
A total stud. Yeah, so mm-hmm. what are you thinking about? Like, what if he ends up back on the Seahawks? Where do you think you'd rank him?
If Seattle stays the same coach, same quarterback, and same backfield situation with maybe Chris Carson coming back healthy, then I think you like it better. I'm going to probably hate him unless he goes to a team that just has a great offensive line in place and a good system because it just feels like somebody would be taking his production from the last 5 or 6 games as opposed to the body of work that he's been. You know, can he stay healthy? Can he thrive in another situation? Is he going to share with somebody else? I mean, everything kind of fell in line for him in this stretch of games where they needed him. And Pete Carroll said after the game last night, you know, what was the difference in your, you know, winning streak versus the beginning of the season? He goes, we ran the ball. Yeah. And so, you know, Carroll would be committed to it. I think, you know, he would be probably the lead guy, which is what they hoped for when they drafted him in the first round 4 years ago, more so than Chris Carson, even if Carson's 100%. But there's just so many variables for him right now to determine. But I think, you know, like we're going to do draft on Thursday. My guess is he's going to go in the first 5 rounds because of what the you know, production has been and what the upside still can be. But it feels like, you know, he goes someplace else. This is the type of player that ends up being a bust.
Dave, thoughts on Penny?
He had at least 19 PPR points in 4 of his last 5 games. He was unstoppable. And this is what the pedigree was when he came out of college. And I think that round 5 range is where people, if he stays in Seattle, if Chris Carson stays in Seattle, look, they're going to have somebody ready to go in case he gets hurt. I have a hard time believing that they're going to put it all on Rashad Penny's plate again without a good 1B running back to work with him. But he's got this explosiveness that can help him put up good fantasy production, even if he's getting fewer carries than what he's been getting over the past few weeks. So I think people would take a chance on him in round 5 if things stay the way that they are.
Does he remind you of last year's David Montgomery, who was incredible down the stretch and had so many easy matchup after easy matchup. And Penny kind of did too. You know, he started, this explosion started with Houston. Then he stunk against the Rams, 11 carries for 30. He just didn't have a lot of work. 11 carries, 39 yards, 2 for 25 receiving, and got hurt in that game, I think. Then the Bears game. Then it was the Bears. They're terrible against the run. Then the Lions. They're great matchup. Then the Cardinals. They're not good against the run either, although they had been coming into this game, and he tore them apart. They had been, you know, on a nice stretch. And then, you know, you get for Montgomery, he kind of went back to being this kind of runner, but he had a great role. You're not going to get the passing downs role from Penny. Do you guys see a comparison there of between the two?
Yes, in the setup. But again, you know, he may have a different quarterback. He may be on a different team. He may have a different head coach. There's just so much that's going to change for him potentially. So if everything is the same, then yes, you could see a similar type of David Montgomery decline you know, where it wasn't as great because the matchups weren't as favorable. So yes, for sure.
Yeah.
But I do think that, look, he can end up, like, what if he goes to Miami and they have a better coach and you know, they have so much money to spend, a first round pick, you know, that's just all invested in building around Tua with offensive line. And then they add a free agent running back, like somebody like Penny. That's a pretty good situation. You know, if he goes to Houston, you know, and he's in a split with Davis Mills, who showed a lot of promise, but he's sharing with Rex Burkhead and whatever other, you know, retread guy that they decided to bring in there because they just wanted to get somebody that was good but cheap. And I'm sure these running backs are going to be cheap. Then it's not a great situation. So there's so many ways this can go with Rashad Penny. And that's the thing I think that people have to be thinking about. Certainly, if you're a dynasty manager, you should be selling because his value is so high right now.
All right, and tell me about Deebo Samuel. That's the last guy I want to talk about, and then I'll just let you guys, if you want to give me more winners, that's fine, or we can do the awards, whatever it is. Deebo Samuel ends up as the number two wide receiver in non-PPR, number three in full PPR, 120 targets. You know, Chris Godwin was wide receiver two a few years ago with 120 targets in 14 games, but those are the only two guys. I mean, that's the lowest number for a top five wide receiver since Jordy Nelson in 2011, so it's just rare. He had six receiving touchdowns, but he had eight rushing touchdowns. And yak, like holy yak with Deebo Samuel. So he averaged 10 yards after the catch per catch. Compare that, like Cooper Kupp led the NFL in yards after catch, and Deebo was second. But Cooper Kupp averaged 5.9 yards after catch per catch. And it's a lot to say. And Deebo was at 10 yak per catch. I mean, he's mind-blowing in this statistic, and most people in San Francisco are, I guess. But anyway, Dave, where'd you end up with Deebo in your early 2022 rankings?
I've got him ninth among receivers next year. He averaged, coming into the week, 19.9 PPR points per game. I would imagine that that'll come down considerably next year, but he's still going to be in that range of, I would guess, or averaging 15 to 16 PPR points per game. And would be a must-start guy. The rushing production, just on top of everything else, you hope he stays healthy. You hope he stays that big factor in the 49ers offense. I don't think they have any reason whatsoever to get away from him. The other issue that you've got to consider is, what do they do at quarterback? Is Jimmy Garoppolo back? Remember, most of this production came with Garoppolo. Garoppolo played the majority of the year. With Trey Lance, he did have some good plays, but Lance figures to not throw as much as Garoppolo did. And this is already on a team that loves to run the football to begin with. So you can't shoot him to the moon. You can't call him a top five receiver next year, in my opinion. I think he's a top 10, but closer to 10.
In the two games that Lance started, he had a 9-target game against the Cardinals in week 5. So at least that's encouraging that he was looking for him. He only had 3 catches, 58 yards in that game. But clearly did some damage on the ground because he scored 15 PPR points. In the week 17 game, which it was a much more favorable opponent, 6 targets, 3 catches, 63 yards, and a touchdown. So those are the two games Lance started. Now, in the week 4 game, I don't know what the split is, so it could be obviously a lot more Jimmy Garoppolo, but in the week 4 game against Seattle, he has 13 targets, 8 catches, 156 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I have no idea what that was.
Well, you remember he had the 75-yard touchdown, right? Yeah, right. Whatever it was. Right.
Okay, but still, you take that away, that's 90 yards receiving and 7 catches and 12 targets, so and a touchdown. So, again, whatever the split was between, you know, Garoppolo and Lance, I don't know. But in any event, 3 of his very productive games came with Lance playing in some capacity. So I think that's something you got to keep in mind. I also was, you know, hearing some people say that some other sites may give him running back eligibility, which would definitely change how you have to view him.
Oh, yeah.
If he's allowed to be drafted at that capacity because of how much work he did in the backfield. I don't know if we're going to do that. That's obviously something we'll have to have a conversation of this offseason. But you got to think about it. In 2 of 3 years, he's been really good. But he also, I think, has a little bit of an injury-prone label to him because of what happened in his second season, and he did miss a little bit of time and spend time on the practice report, you know, banged up. And the additional work will probably lead to maybe some more injuries. But he's just shown you so much potential. And this year, you know, everything just kind of worked in his favor and exploded. So I think it's going to be very difficult not to draft him, probably in round 3. If it's a very heavy receiver draft, probably see him go at the end of round 2. There's just so much to love about his upside in this offense.
Where did you end up ranking? Where is he in your top
10? He's in my 20? Top 10. Yeah,
same. Top 10. By the way, the splits in that week 4 game, he had 13 targets for the game, and he had 8 of them with Trey Lance in the second half.
Okay.
Yeah. Eight out of 18.
That's now 2 of 3 games where he had 8 or more targets from Lance. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a good sign for sure.
Kittle did play in that game. Yeah. And Kittle had 10 targets in that game too.
Kittle did not play in that game.
No.
Week four, I thought he was out.
No, he did play.
Okay.
Garoppolo, yeah, they all played. The whole band.
And Ayuk was back in full swing. Was he a full time player?
Oh, that
was,
I don't know about this. He had three targets. And let's see. How much did this? I'm sure people care so much. Kittle played 92% of the snaps. Samuel 89%. Ayuk 67% of the snaps.
Okay, so he was coming out of the doghouse at that point.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to talk about from Week 18? Anything that jumped out at you, or we can move on to the awards? You can produce the show.
You move on to the awards.
All right.
Absolutely.
Let's do the awards. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're nominating awards. MVP, biggest bust, rookie of the year, best waiver wire pickup, worst waiver wire pickup, and the one game wonder of the 2021 season. We will be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
So, who is the fantasy MVP? Is it Deebo Samuel?
We just talked about him.
Deebo?
Yeah.
Well, we have to come up with a list of four. So,
four I have were based on where they were drafted in their production were Cooper Kupp, Deebo Samuel, James Conner, and Mark Andrews.
Oh, I didn't go with Conner. That's a good one. I went with Jamar Chase as my fourth with Kupp, Andrews, and Deebo.
I mean, Conner was a top five running back and was drafted somewhere around round 8, round 9?
Yeah, Jamar Chase was a top five wide receiver. He was drafted 75th overall. Let me see. The ADP. I was using Fantasy Pros ADP in full PPR. So Chase. Connor was probably after Chase. Chase was.
Connor was almost certainly after Chase.
75th, and Connor was, 101st. All right, let's throw James Connor up there.
I mean, you want to put Chase over Andrews? I have no problem with that.
All right, so we've got five. Are we missing anyone?
One of them will win. That's the problem.
What's that? Who's going to win?
I don't think case for Andrews to win or for Chase to win, considering the other three names that you've brought up.
Well, I mean, Andrews is the best tight end in fantasy. That's hard not to.
But he was still drafted relatively early.
He was tight end 5. He was just after Kyle Pitts in Fantasy Pros PPR ADP. Basically the same.
That's stupid.
Jonathan Taylor. Should we just talk about Jonathan Taylor as a possibility here?
You have to. I mean, I think he's definitely in consideration, but when you start to factor in ADP versus production, I don't know where he finished. I think he was somewhere back into round 1, early round 2, which is again stupid because of the Carson Wentz, Quentin Nelson injuries that pushed him down. But I think the two receivers for sure in terms of Deebo and Kupp, it's hard to argue that those guys are not better than him based on where they were drafted and the production they gave you.
And Kupp averaged 4.5 points per game more than Deebo Samuel. So even though Deebo went a lot later, Deebo was 88th overall. He was wide receiver 35. Kupp basically cut it in half. 46th overall. He was wide receiver 17. That's a pretty big edge. So we're set on Kupp and Deebo. Right.
That makes the difference for me.
All right. We're set on Kupp and Deebo. We got to give four names here. So I think
Connor belongs. I think Connor is a good call.
All right, then we're down to Taylor, Jamar Chase, and Mark Andrews.
I think we look silly not having Jonathan Taylor on the list.
I would agree. Yeah. All right, so Schrager, you're making a note of all this?
Got it all.
All right, we got Kupp, Deebo, Jonathan Taylor, and James Conner, right? Okay. Biggest bust. What do you got? What do we got for biggest bust?
I have two running backs, two receivers.
Okay.
I can guess the receivers.
Two running backs are Saquon Barkley and Miles Gaskin.
Oh, Gaskin. Yeah.
Okay. Gaskin was terrible.
And the two receivers are Terry McLaurin and Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even a contest, though, between Robinson and McLaurin. I mean, they were drafted pretty similarly, so Robinson is... That's why I didn't even put McLaurin on the list, because Robinson is so much bustier, right? He's like the biggest bust ever. He didn't even get hurt. Holy... I mean, we missed... We won one or two games or whatever, but...
No, he missed, I think, three or four.
Yeah, fine. I'm not... You know what? I'm just... Let me rant.
And even before that...
He was so bad. Oh, my gosh. Oh man! All right, Robinson has to be on the list. Barkley has to be on the list, and we're not doing like mega injury busts. You miss a few games, that's one thing, but it's performance related here.
I started looking at it, and I was going to tweet over the weekend, but it was just too much time. But my criteria when I was looking at it was, did they play at least 12 games?
Okay, fair. All right, so I think Barkley and Robinson are on there. We'll talk. McLaurin's a possibility. Dave, who else?
Well, the receivers are exactly who I had. I don't know if there's anybody else that really could qualify as much. I mean, people like, I could say Chase Claypool, for example, or Jerry Jeudy. Those guys were guys that we missed on, but I don't think that they are in the same ballpark.
Oh, yeah, you're missing
Robinson.
How about a wide receiver who caught zero touchdowns this year?
Galladay?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I
was drafted after
him a bust going into the season, so I don't feel like he's a bust when he acted that way.
He was wide receiver 30 in ADP. He was,
yeah.
I mean, Robinson is definitely the Robinson's definitely ahead of him, but
me, McLaurin's the worst. Okay.
Hold on, I got another one. So? And I don't know if he qualifies because of the injury thing, but could you make the case that Miles Sanders was a fantasy bust?
No.
I don't think so. He didn't go high enough.
Only three games with more than 10 PPR points.
That's actually
all year.
But once they committed to running the ball and he was healthy, he was a must-start guy.
Yeah, but he only had two good games when they started doing that.
Yeah, but how many of those did he leave with injury?
Right. So, like, I don't know if he qualifies because of
all. Yeah, I wouldn't call him a bust. I don't think a lot of people would view him that way. To me, Gaskin's a bigger bust.
Gaskin's a pretty big bust.
Gaskin.
Mike, Ben wants to throw Mike Davis's name in the ring. I would say,
I guess.
That's a pretty good one.
He had more 10-point PPR games than Miles Sanders did.
That's a pretty good case. How many games did Sanders end up playing?
He was on IR for three games. So what else did he miss? This week 18. I don't think he played enough games.
Let's see.
I don't know. I think he probably played 12. I think, Dave, I think you're onto something here with Miles Sanders. He was a colossal bust.
I'm talking from it, but I think he missed only six games.
He played 12.
Okay. So then that qualifies him. Played 12 games, was good in three of the 12. Definitely he wasn't as sought after as he was 2 years ago.
Yeah. All right. So
I think he belongs on the list. I don't know if he'll beat Saquon. But Saquon had more games with 10 PPR points. Saquon had a couple with 20.
All right. So we have Barkley, Robinson. You guys seem pretty intent on McLaurin. Keeping him?
I would.
Okay. Barkley, Robinson, McLaurin, and then we need one more guy. Is it going to be Mike Davis? Is it going to be Miles Gaskin? Is it going to be Miles Sanders? Schrager, you want to cast the deciding vote here?
You know what? With all these other names, I think I would take McLaurin off.
I kind of agree.
Like, I agree that he was terrible this year, and it sucked having him on your fantasy team, but these guys stunk even more.
Okay, fine. So I'll say my final four would be Robinson, Barkley, Miles Sanders, and then who else, Dave?
I think Gaskin belongs on there. I think Barkley belongs on there. I think Sanders belongs on there. The thing about Allen Robinson, like, he busted, but we were through with him by like week six, and he ended up the year on the waiver wire in a ton of leagues. No one was starting him.
Gaskin's got to be a must because he was drafted as an RB2 and he was awful.
All right,
so and people kept going back to him.
Yeah, but I mean, at least you got some good games.
We were starting this guy even though he was terrible.
At least you got something from him. Robinson, I mean, there's no other player.
Definitely on the list. He was a top 10 receiver drafted. He was terrible. He's the biggest bust of the year.
He's the winner. This is all a moot point because Robinson's going to run away with it. All right, fine. So then let's put Gaskin, Robinson, Barkley, Gaskin, and I'm cool with Miles Sanders. Let's throw him on there.
I'm not, but that's I'll be the dissenter.
Who goes ahead of him? McLaurin?
Oh, I would put McLaurin ahead.
Shraggy B? No.
Let's go Terry. Sanders, when we started him towards the end of the year, was good.
Was he?
For a couple of games, he was.
Yeah. All right. He really wasn't, though. He was for two games, Jets and Washington. Yeah. Problem is, he just barely caught any passes. All right. Let's go to Rookie of the Year. This is a pretty good one here. This is a really good one.
Yeah, but you know who's going to win.
I don't know who's going to win. I think it's going to be very close. Oh, it's very close.
You mentioned him for MVP. How's he not going to be Rookie of the Year?
Because it's ADP, but it's not. It's Najee Harris. I would vote for Najee over Chase. They're both top five at their position.
First, you're going to get recency bias because Ja'Marr Chase won a lot of people fantasy championships. So you're going to have that problem to deal with. Ja'Marr Chase has been the best rookie. I mean, he was close to setting rookie records. He's amazing.
Najee Harris, I think you could argue, had a better fantasy season. And here's my case for Najee ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase,
go ahead.
Chase was amazing in week 16 and 17. And that was, help people win, especially week 17. What he did in the fantasy championship can't be overlooked. Najee Harris had a pretty good fantasy championship too, on that Monday night with that last run. But from weeks 8 through 13, crunch time down the stretch, five straight games with 13.1 or fewer fantasy points in PPR for Ja'Marr Chase. He was kind of a dud until he turned it on in week 16 and 17. Round one of the fantasy playoffs, he scored 1.3 PPR fantasy points. So I think Chase is easily top two. I think he's probably going to win. But I really think Najee Harris, a top three running back. He was the number three running back in PPR. The reason I didn't put him in his fantasy MVP is just because his ADP was so much higher than Chase's. But the number three running back in PPR compared, I think it was the number four wide receiver in PPR, maybe number five.
If you're just comparing them as players, points per game, Chase was better. Total points, Chase was better.
Weighted heavily by the two monster games that Chase had, which
doesn't matter. I mean, Chase also was amazing in the beginning of the season.
They were better than any two games that Najee had. Najee was more consistent. Chase had the two blow-up games.
I mean, they're the top two guys. But I would take Chase.
I think people will take Chase. But fine, they're the top two guys. Then who's three and four?
I think the case for Najee should be heard, though, and I think you made a good case for him.
He had four games all season with fewer than seven PPR fantasy points. They were in weeks one, or three games, actually. 1, 12, and 15. He scored 15.7 or more PPR fantasy points in every other game, except for week 18, where he was in and out of the lineup.
But they both didn't play week 18, basically.
Yeah, so forget that. But yeah, all right, fine. Najee, Ja'Marr Chase. The other three guys I had were Elijah Mitchell, St. Brown, and Jalen Waddle. Am I forgetting anyone?
Nope, I think those are the best five.
Who are we getting out of there?
I would probably remove St. Brown just because of body of work. It was toward the end of the season, but you can make a case for Mitchell because of how much time he missed toward the end of the season. So either one of those two. Waddle's definitely got to be on the list. He was awesome.
Yeah. All right, let's remove. Shragar, I'll let you decide.
Let's get Mitchell out of there.
Yeah,
I think Mitchell is most likely going to be a strong candidate for best waiver wire pickup. So
yes.
Yeah, so is St. Brown. All right, best waiver wire pickup. Here we go. St. Brown, Penny, Mitchell, or they got to be on the list, right?
Cordero Patterson has to be on the list.
Cordero Patterson and Dalton should be there too.
I knew there was going to be one of those. Oh, that guy.
Because he's going to be somebody that people forget because of how the season ended for him. Like he helped so many people and in multiple spots. To me, he's the winner because you could have played him at either spot. You could have used him in different ways. If you need a receiver one week, you could have played him there. You need a running back one week, could have played him there. I think he's the best waiver wire pickup of the season.
I don't think Penny belongs on the list. And I think the last four games were amazing, but I think the body of work is better for
the other St. Brown.
Well, St. Brown had some contributions before then.
St. Brown was better, though, than Penny. If you just look at for Penny, it was five games and one was bad. When St. Brown had a few guys,
it was the end of the season. That's when we were looking at them as definite players in your lineup.
Right. Yeah.
I think it'll come down to Patterson or Mitchell. But I think Dalton Schultz is a dark horse. I think he was really good. He was awesome. St. Brown and Penny helped you at the end of the year. St. Brown, I don't know if you really bought into him in October when he started to play a little bit more and get more work, but to me, that was an edge. Like, Penny was off the radar until November.
This is a tough category, but I forgot about Patterson. He's absolutely number one there. We'll let the people vote, but he'll be on the list. Okay, so Patterson, St. Brown's got to be on.
I think those four, because, you know, again, it shouldn't be discounted of when you help people, because you help people at the end. Is and I put Taysom Hill as the fifth guy too, because he was somebody that you started at quarterback for a stretch. And, you know, looking at that position, there really wasn't a lot of guys that we picked up and said were, you know, starters right away. There were a few streamers. But once he became a starter, people starting him, whether you consistently did or not, I think you started him.
You know, I think I got to put Taysom Hill on there. I'm sorry, Dalton Schultz. I think I put Dalton Schultz.
I would put Patterson, Mitchell, Schultz, and then you can make a case for either Penny or St. Brown.
Yeah.
I would go St. Brown over Penny.
Sure. That's fine.
I think we're in complete agreement there, because Dalton Schultz was awesome in the fantasy playoffs. 20 points, 22 points, 11 points.
He was awesome at the beginning of the season, too. That's the better part of it.
Yeah, he was a top five tight end, and you got him in week three. He was 5% rostered. I think Sony Michel deserves a shout out. Deontay Foreman.
Yep.
Those guys were good. Alexander Mattison was 53% rostered after week two. He's not going to make the cut. But all right, so we got
shout outs: Devontae Freeman, Darnell Mooney, Pat Freiermuth. But not good enough to be on the final list.
We've got Patterson, Mitchell, Dalton Schultz, and St. Brown. Worst waiver wire pickup. Who'd you guys come up with for this?
Well, the first name that I had was Kadarius Toney, who looked great for a couple of games, and then the combination of Giants and injuries just completely removed him from being useful in fantasy. But I know that there was one person on this podcast that was really, 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 really in love with Kadarius Toney. And I liked him too.
Don't talk about Heath when he's not on the show, Dave.
Okay. he's on the list. Cole Kmet is on the list. He was always just Rashad Bateman. We all made a big hullabaloo about Bateman. I don't think we ever necessarily had him as the guy to go get, but he's somebody that I think fantasy managers gravitated toward. And then he had a couple of okay games. I think he had one really good game.
I didn't like him, but I know a lot of people did. Was Peterson?
Oh yeah, he was one of my guys. Kadarius Toney was.
Mm-hmm.
Rondale Moore, week three. He never did anything after that second game of this season. Sam Darnold. Remember how a lot of people were buying into Sam Darnold, not us.
He got you a couple good starts, though, with his rushing production early.
He did, but in week four, that's when I think people started to finally buy in. Then he had maybe one more good game.
How about Cam? Same
Cam
thing.
Came to mind, too.
Cam's a good one for this.
This was really tough. Damian Williams. Remember how people look, we thought Montgomery
was a good one.
We thought Montgomery was going to be out a while, and Williams, he plays one game. He had a good game, split carries with Herbert, but they both were good. And then I think he went on the COVID list, or he got hurt.
Yeah,
one of the two. Yeah, I think he went on the COVID list midweek.
Montgomery missed four games,
and then whatever it was, and then Khalil Herbert just took the job for the next 3 weeks. I think.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. So Schrager, what does it look like here for worst waiver wire pickup?
Adrian Peterson, Toney, Darnold, or Cam. I think Rondale Moore deserves to be on there.
Okay.
Beyond that, I think that's a good start. AP, Moore, Darnold, or Cam for sure.
And Toney.
I think we should put Cam on there.
Yeah, me too. Everybody
was kind of hyped up about Cam Newton coming back.
Me too. Okay, one game wonder. So this is a player who had a huge week and didn't really do much else.
Cam had
one more good game or no?
He had two.
To me, there's one clear winner, and that's Justin Jackson, week 16. 33 fantasy points in place of Austin Eckler. People used him. People got to the fantasy championship because of him. And then they were smart enough to not use him the week after because they knew that Eckler would be back.
Tyler Huntley, too. Same thing, the Packers game.
Yep, week 15, 39 points.
Are we looking at players who were helpful for fantasy managers or players who weren't? You know, because is this...
I think it should be helpful.
Well, this is Tyler Huntley's category, because even as recently as yesterday, know I was on the other side of this, but you heard he should be started in week 18. And it was one good game that we were basing it off of, essentially. You know, he had some good moments in the other three appearances prior to yesterday, but I just didn't think the sample size of him playing well was big enough. I thought he played poorly more on the other side. But he helped you if you started him that one game. I know I did. You could also say, hey, same team, Josh Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he helped me get Mike, to a champion.
Mike White really jumps out.
But were people using him?
No, and that's why I don't know how to approach this.
Right. So in week three, Peyton Barber had 23 fantasy points, and then he totaled 20 the rest of the way. Does that make him a candidate for a 1 week wonder when no one started him, no one used him, no one picked him up? You know, he might have. It doesn't right. even matter what he did.
Maybe I think it's like the fooled you type thing.
Yeah. See, that's the day. Is it
really
that
useful?
Okay. So why don't we make it the useful 1 week, guys? You know,
good.
Best
Jackson
one
and Huntley belong.
Yes. I would say Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, in week 17.
I would say Kadarius Toney.
Okay.
When was he started?
He had a good game before the crazy good game.
The Saints game.
You picked him up after the Saints game. You started him in the Cowboys game, maybe?
Yep. I mean, you could even say Kenny Galladay, too. You know, just for one game wonder. He had the Saints game. That was it.
Yeah, but I don't know that he really fits. Who's a guy that we plugged in for 1 week and got a huge week?
Huntley is one. Jackson's one. It's a good call.
Berrios, are we good with that?
I mean, how many good weeks did Khalil Herbert have? Two?
Yeah,
three?
That, he's a good call.
Right. Yeah, a bunch. But he's not a one-week guy.
No, he's not.
18-18-9 in the middle of the year. Middle of the fantasy season.
This is tough.
Where was Corey Davis ranked going into week one? Outside the top 35?
Yeah, he's on my list. I can share my list with you.
No, but he had a few good games, though.
How about Trevor Lawrence after week one?
But that's like going back to the fooled you theme.
Right.
Not the useful theme.
Okay, so if it's going to be useful for the week, I think some people might have used Brax in week 17. I know people used Huntley in week 15 and Justin Jackson in week 6.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about those three. And, man, this should
Emmanuel
be so
Sanders hard. In week 3, 26 points?
No, but it's got to be like, oh, you picked him up off the waiver wire, basically.
Duke Johnson's won good game.
But no one
Nobody
was using
used him.
Them.
Yeah, he did the next week.
And then he was horrible the next week against the Saints. Right, that's what it is. We're kind of battling this. Is it
fooled you
or is it useful?
I think this guy had one big week and then was useless.
Okay. Jackson, well, Elijah Moore did it twice.
I would go
so
Jackson,
can,
Huntley. Yeah. To me, this is Huntley's category to lose. Jackson, Huntley, Duke Johnson.
CJ Uzama.
Uzama had a couple of big games. I just don't know if people were really trusting him those weeks.
Damn it. I hate this. I can't figure this out. All right, so
you say Berrios. Berrios will be the fourth one.
All right, okay. Tyler Huntley, Braxton Berrios, Justin Jackson, and who is the fourth?
Duke Johnson.
Duke Johnson.
Ugh.
All right, great category.
You'd also maybe say Dontrell Hilliard.
Duke Johnson's the fooled you guy. How about
D'Ernest Johnson?
Ramondre Stevenson.
There
it is.
Who, D'Ernest? Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Yep. The Broncos.
Fantastic one.
Okay. All right. Great. Let's read one email here to finish the show.
I gotta go. So I'll catch you guys Wednesday.
I thought we were doing FFT in 5, Jamie.
Yeah, I forgot I had a call. I'll talk to you after.
All right. all right. There we go. Planning on the air. Dave, one email here from Devin. Hey, Paul, Ricky, Eagle, and Simon. Paul, Ricky, Eagle, and Simon.
I don't have that one.
Yeah, I don't have a clue. Paul, Ricky, Eagle, and Simon are. I'll tell you in a second. Was this the year that we saw the downfall of mobile quarterbacks? Kyler Murray, dud. Lamar Jackson, dud. Dak, I wouldn't really call him a mobile quarterback, to be honest with you. Russ,
right.
Fields, Taysom, Hurts, etc. Really, Josh Allen was the only mobile quarterback that lived up to the expectations while the pocket passers excelled. Do you share the same sentiment and feel that it could be due to this year's defensive trend of too high safeties? And will this impact next year's rankings on heavily weighting mobile quarterbacks?
See, I think the too high safeties did more damage against passers than runners, because when the safeties are pulling back, it almost encourages you to run the football more. I think just injuries piled up for these guys. Certainly in the case of Lamar and Kyler, they missed plenty of time. But when they did, when Kyler played, he ran well a good portion of the time. It wasn't an every week thing. Same thing with Lamar. And you saw the potential with Fields. He just didn't get there every week. Taysom, same thing. Hurts is the one that I think had some good consistency running for much of the year. I don't think it's necessarily the end of it, but I think you still consider that rushing potential as part of the makeup for all these quarterbacks and what they can do moving forward. And that's what'll keep them certainly relevant in fantasy, if not pushed up a little bit higher than where they would be based on their arm.
It looks like Paul, Ricky, Eagle, and Simon are frisbee golfers. You ever play frisbee golf? Rolf?
I've got a frisbee golf course near my house. I ride my bike past it all the time. I've never played.
Really? When you were younger?
I think it's too strenuous of an exercise for me.
When you were younger, I don't know anyone who did this, not me. Did you ever drive by golf courses and honk your horn in the middle of people's backswing?
When I was younger.
Because I had a lot of fun doing that. It was
last week.
Really, you did not.
Okay, I didn't. But I thought about it.
Oh, yeah. Really fun thing. Boy, they hate that. They really, really hate that. Okay, we're out of here, everybody. Thanks so much for watching and listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll talk about the coaching changes, some other 2022 things. And later in the week, we'll talk about the wild card round. To Dave and Jamie and Ben, thank you. I am Adam. Talk to you later on Fantasy Football Team.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.